Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we are back in business as, once again, we broadcast from my basement out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we want to get back to the basics, the basic vision for this ministry. And, of course, the basic vision is a vision of truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. You bring truth in relationship, you call it discipleship or mentorship. And I have to say, that's got to be the most fruitful thing that we do. It is, of course, the Great Commission. Jesus said, disciple the nations by teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. It's quite a process. It involves a fair amount of time because it's not just teaching them about the things Jesus has given us, but it's teaching them to observe. So it is a process. And the more time we spend with it, the better. And postmodernism has pretty much gutted the world of both truth and personality. So postmodernism does. And that's why the Christian faith gets right in the face of postmodernism and says, we're going to restore both truth and relationship and call it discipleship. Well, before we get to the real thrust of the program, which will be the discipleship or mentorship of young men, let's take a look at the news. Here, Associated Press reports that Boy Scouts of America is losing members fast at about 150,000 per year. The Boy Scout of America's youth membership fell 7.4% last year, continuing a decade-long decline for one of the nation's oldest youth organizations. A spokesman said Friday, enrollment fell 6% the year before in 2013. This year, a fall of 7.4%. So, again, bleeding fast. It all began when they decided to open up their membership to the 3% of the population that's given way to the sin of homosexuality and seem to want to broadcast the fact. So in order to accommodate the 3%, they're losing 6%, 7.4%. How much will they lose in 2015? Who knows? By the way, Mormon leaders have endorsed the Boy Scouts' decision to allow gay scouts in 2013. The Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenants, two publications the LDS Church considers to be scripture, are silent on subjects specific to homosexuality. And about 10 years ago, the church started allowing openly gay missionaries. That according to a Charisma article that was recently published. Well, friends, whatever the case, mentorship is important to the Christian faith. And that's one reason why in the Gen 2 survey, we asked the question, does your church mentor or disciple? Well, as it turns out, the sect that most commonly disciples or mentors, according to the confession of those who took the Gen 2 survey, is the Mormon Church. Second is the Reformed Baptist and Reformed Presbyterians. After that come non-denominationals and a few others. But the Mormon Church still somewhat interested in discipleship. But here, a couple of points. Truth matters. You may have mentorship or discipleship, but if it's not in the truth, there's a problem with that. Be careful about introducing mentorships when your son is too young, especially when dad has the opportunity to do the mentorship. And also keep in mind, the wrong mentors and the wrong peer group can take your child in the wrong direction. What do the Proverbs say? Well, the Proverbs are key to this because, well, the Proverbs is God's book on how to educate a young man in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So we get back to the Proverbs again and again. Before you take up any of the 100,000 gurus out there, pull out the book of Proverbs, and you'll find that Proverbs 13:20 tells us, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, that's an overarching passage that ought to speak strongly to the issue of mentorship or discipleship, and certainly to the issue of peer group. When we take a look at what's happening with those who attend a typical public school, conventional Christian school, you'll find that the peer group has an inordinate amount of influence upon the young men and young women. We don't want to point our fingers at the teachers or instructors. Oftentimes there are well-meaning instructors that are trying hard to do the discipleship. But if the discipleship is largely coming from the peer group, then once again, Proverbs 13:20 applies. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Also, Proverbs 19:27, cease my son to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. As far as the peer group is concerned, think about Exodus 23:2, you shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit siding with the many so as to pervert justice. It really doesn't matter what the peer group does or thinks. It doesn't matter that 55% of the peer group believes in doing something foolish. It doesn't matter that 55% of Americans are in favor of killing babies or killing Jews. We must stand against the perversion of justice. That's the point here in Exodus 23:2. By the way, this is a democracy check. People who are in awe of democracy need to stop for a moment, pause, and realize that when the majority are doing the mob justice thing, we don't run with the mob to do evil and pervert justice. Doesn't happen. Well, seeking out wise men as our mentors and the mentors and disciplers for our young men is critical, absolutely critical. And certainly we live in a day in which young men have a crying need for more mentorship and more discipleship. They have been without their fathers for generations. Some of them have been stuck in classrooms with their moms or other female teachers and have had very little male influence in their lives. And the consequences are devastating. 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970, per a recent statistic I took off of Newsweek magazine. In other words, they're just not growing up. They have no vision in life. They're not getting jobs. They're not getting married, and they desperately need mentorship and discipleship. But where are they going to get it? Well, as I mentioned, the Boy Scouts of America are losing 150,000 members a year. There's a new organization called Trail Life USA. They've gained 20,000 just the last few years, and they are growing. Mark Hancock is the CEO of Trail Life USA, and he will be with me in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. Stay tuned.
Oh my, Pam, Drew. Oh, ever since your father died, I'm just having trouble living here alone.
Mom, I guess you're right. We do need to find a place that can take care of you. But they just built that new fancy-looking assisted living place. I'm sure you'd love it there, right?
But Drew, how much would that cost? And isn't that like 50 minutes from either of us?
Yeah, I know, but Mom's got money, and I'm sure there's plenty of people there that would keep her company.
Oh, yeah, but spend Mom's every last dime, and sure, there are people there, but nobody she knows. Mom, we've been praying about it, and well, we want you to live with our family.
What? Pam, no
way.
Oh,
Pam, no. I don't want to burden you, and I could never... You have children to care for. Mom, we love you, and yes, it may take some adjusting, even changes, but we want to honor you this way.
Really, Pam, you think you can do it?
But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God.
Christian Family Elder Care. Restoring honor, thriving as caregivers. Visit ChristianFamilyElderCare.org.
And welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And friends, we're looking at discipleship today. How in the world are we going to disciple and mentor the next generation, certainly of boys? Boys are needing more input into their lives. They need this discipleship and mentorship. I've run into very few people that would disagree with that proposition. It's just, how do you bring it about? That's the biggest question. Well, today I'm going to take a look at Trail Life USA, and I went to their website this morning and pulled off their statement of faith. We believe there's one triune God, God the Father, Jesus Christ, His only Son, and the Holy Spirit, creator of the universe, eternally existent. We believe the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testament, to be the inspired and authoritative Word of God. It's a great start. It's a great start. I think it beats the Boy Scout statement of faith, and we're going to talk about the Trail Life USA today with Mark Hancock, who's CEO of the organization. They've been growing like crazy recently, and he now joins me on the program. Hey, Mark, welcome to Generations.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you having me here.
Wow. You know, you guys spelled out a strong Christian statement, a Christian worldview from the beginning there. Why is that? Why did you begin with that on your statement of faith?
Well, I got to tell you that that's one of the things that distinguishes us from anything else that's going on, really, in our culture. And we are unapologetically Christian. Not only that, we would go as far to say that we're probably politically incorrect by most standards, because we do believe the Word of God, and we are Christ-centered. We don't apologize for that. That isn't for everybody. We recognize that, but we recognize that there's also a deep hunger that we're discovering in our culture in the United States for parents looking for a place to place their sons that holds on to those traditional biblical values.
And with the breakdown of the family, I think it's so critical that you train young men in a biblical approach to sexuality. And right away on your statement of values, I'm reading, God calls us to lives of holiness, being pure of heart, mind, word, and deed. We are to reserve sexual activity for the sanctity of marriage, a lifelong commitment before God between a man and a woman. So important, so important. Young men, young women are taken away by, you know, all of the sexual perversions. Pornography is huge, you know, as you probably know. Something like 80% of young 18, 19, 20-year-olds admit to a weekly or monthly access to, you know, and I think a lot of people, most people understand that incredibly unhealthy sinful patterns like this are not going to serve these young men well in the years to come. So it's important to disciple them in these values.
Absolutely, Kevin. We absolutely agree, and that's what we're set around. We really believe that young men are capable of more than what we as a culture give them credit for. We think that if you call men up to righteousness, they'll respond to that. But deep in their heart, they want to do what's right, and they recognize that God is calling them to be the husband and the man, the father in a household, and to hold up a standard. So you'll find that a lot of Trail Life USA is built around that. We are at once Christ-centered, committed to that. We are male-focused, which is unusual in our society to stand up and say, "Hey, this is for boys and this is for men." No offense to women. We love women. We have women at all levels of our organization, but in terms of the leadership of the boys, we require that they have male mentors from sixth grade and above as part of our organization. We're also trans-denominational, which means that we're open to most denominations. There are some denominations that are not capable of adhering to our statement of faith, and we simply don't charter troops in those denominations. And at the same time, we meet on a regular basis, which is unusual. So you can have a troop meeting where you've got boys of a number of different denominations enjoying the outdoors together with their fathers and situations where they're mentoring each other. So we really do appeal to the whole body of Christ. But you're absolutely right. There's not many calls to righteousness and purity in our culture. And we think that Trail Life USA is the perfect place to do that. There's something about getting men and boys out in the outdoors in the middle of God's creation that opens up their hearts. And causes them to be open and desirous of pursuing the lofty, righteous spiritual goals.
Mark, give us a little background on the history of Trail Life.
Trail USA is just 1 year old. We started January 1st, a little over a year old. We started January 1st of last year. We have 540-something troops in 48 states, over 20,000 members in just a year. And we discovered that we've tapped into some hunger that was already there. Our roots go back to, I guess you could point to the Boy Scouts of America, where people had noticed that over a number of years they had been slowly backing away from some of their traditional values. And we felt like they were a wonderful organization. My son's an Eagle Scout. We were involved with them. They're a great organization, but they seemed to be slipping away from the traditional values. And in May of 2013, they announced that they would open the organization's membership to open and avowed homosexual boys. And there were many folks in scouting that just felt like that was just too far. And there are many, many churches that felt that they could not charter troops anymore. So 50 people gathered in Louisville, Kentucky on June 29th, 2013, and pounded out the foundational principles of what 68 days later would be announced as Trail Life USA at a national convention that we held in Nashville, Tennessee. And then about 3 months after that announcement, we launched with 500 troops in line on January 1st of 2014. And we finished out the year with 540 of those completing the charter process, and then another 300 troops in line waiting to open and start operating.
And how are these organized? Are they organized within churches, within homeschool groups? Are they somewhat independently operated? How does it work?
Well, we've got both of those. The majority of our troops are chartered. We require it's a 501c3 organization that has a similar statement of values and statement of faith, but that can certainly adhere and agree to our statement of values and our statement of faith. So the majority of our charter organizations are churches, and they own the troop. They operate the local troop. And it's not just a place for the troop to meet. We consider ourselves vital partners with the local troops. We think with the local churches, we think that we can help churches grow their congregations, and we certainly can benefit. Our boys can certainly benefit from the influence of the local church in their lives. But an interesting thing, even though we're birthed out of Boy Scouts, or some people may say we're birthed out of, over 50% of our members were never involved in an outdoor organization before.
Okay.
So we think that we're appealing to a whole new group where maybe churches in the past may say, well, we're not so interested in Boy Scouts. But they see Trail Life USA, they see our Christ-centered focus, they see our commitment to mentoring, they see that every one of our adults signs a statement of faith, is a Christian, goes through background check, completes 2 hours of child and safety youth protection training. They see our commitment to the gospel, they see our commitment to child safety, and the churches are just responding in big ways, you know, across denominations. We're really making a difference. And it's such an opportunity for local churches. You know, you can send a boy out from a local church and say, hey, go invite your neighbors to come to Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And they may come or they may not. But you get that same boy who goes to his friends and says, hey, I'm going camping this weekend, or I'm going to a paintball tournament, or I'm going to play airsoft, or I'm going hiking or rappelling or something like that. Now you got some kids who are responding to that. So we're growing local churches by giving boys an opportunity to reach out and bring their friends in. And they're all benefiting because the families follow behind and become active in those local churches.
How much teaching or discipleship or mentorship happens in Trail Life? What do you guys get into? How do you train these young men?
Well, that's a good question. We in fact, we're releasing tomorrow a press release where we just formalized our association with Pray Ministries. I don't know if you're familiar with them. It's programs of religious activities with youth. We have a number of spiritual tracks in Trail Life USA, and the boys are required to participate in the spiritual track as well as participate in the outdoor and those type of activities. But we have materials from the National Catholic Committee of Trail Life, so we are open to Catholic troops. We have materials from the members of the Churches of Christ for scouting, the Eastern Orthodox Committee on Scouting, Manhood Journey, Band of Brothers. I can just tell you that we have so many faith opportunities. We have a Worthy Life program, which is a program that we've developed. Our values frontier electric trail badges. The boys can earn trail badges and values and Christian values. We have a Spiritual Development Award. We have a Delta Life Discipleship Program. Our Freedom Award, which is our highest award. We have a Freedom Experience, which allows Christian education options. We like to say it's the carrot and the carrot cake. I mean, when you eat a piece of carrot cake, you don't get big old chunks of carrot, but you're going to get carrot in every bite. So when boys participate in Trail Life, you're going to find the gospel, and you're going to find Christ through every bit of the program.
Are they going to
go out camping, our troops regularly conduct worship services or devotionals and things like that. You're going to bump into Jesus every step along the way in Trail Life USA while you're enjoying character development, leadership opportunities, and outdoor adventure.
What about, Mark, what about involvement of fathers? You know, we just finished a Gen 2 survey of 10,000 millennials and found that that what was key was discipleship, mentorship, and solid relationships with dad and mom. That was so important to the sustenance of faith through the generations. How do you just keep dad engaged or involved? Where dad's there?
Well, Kevin, it's tragic that we lost that in our culture. And we use things like Raising a Modern Day Knight. I don't know if you're familiar
sure.
with those.
Uh-huh.
Those materials.
Sure.
We have those integrated in our program. Manhood mm-hmm. Journey, which is a father-son
right.
A program where there's mentoring and going through Bible lessons. But it's tragic that we've lost that. And so we encourage the whole family participate. We don't think of ourselves as a drop-off program, although we do have, you know, families that drop their kids off. But this is what we're seeing. I was at an event in November at our camp in South Carolina. We have a 127-acre camp in South Carolina that was gifted to us when we were less than a year old. And I was up there, and there were 200 boys camping, and a father backed up his car and opened up his trunk and took out a Walmart box with a tent in it. He took out two plastic bags, just sleeping bags, and he came up to me and said, "Thank you." And I said, "For what?" He says, "I've never been camping my whole life with my son, but because of trail life, I'm spending this time in this weekend." He says, "And as far as I can remember, it's the most time I've ever spent with my son."
That's cute.
And the moment that he finished saying that, wow. his 7-year-old son came running full speed up to him, threw his arms around his dad's legs, looked up to him, gave him a big old smile, and then took off to go back and play with his friends. And I got to tell you, that moment was huge and magical in so many ways. And we're trusting that that's happening on a regular basis around the country as fathers and sons are having opportunities to enjoy the outdoors together, to worship together, and to explore the faith. And we're also really appeal. We have a lot of single moms. I can't
sure.
tell you how many letters we've gotten saying thank
right.
you so much. We got a letter from a mom saying, "You know, my husband left me, and I've got my 3 sons. I have been praying for a program like Trail Life USA, mm-hmm. where I can trust my boys are being mentored by Christian men who share my values and have been background checked and follow youth protection training." And so that mother is so thankful for the opportunity. I had a lady in Washington, D.C. come up and say, "Thank you so much." And I said, "For what?" She said, "Well, 10 years ago, my husband died and left me with my 2-year-old son. And now he's 12 years old. He's a navigator in Trail Life USA, and he's surrounded by Christian men and being mentored. I know my husband will want me to thank you for Trail Life USA." So we're seeing those things develop, the opportunity for boys to be with their dads and for boys mm-hmm. who don't have their dads to find
That's
Christian
great.
Mentoring that's mm-hmm. so critical for their growth.
Mark, back to the outdoor experience for a moment. You mentioned that it was important for boys. Why is it important to get that boy off the couch, watching TV and going through his sci-fi novels? Why is it important for him to get outdoors? What happens? What's the goal? What are we trying to make of this young man?
You know, there's something about being out there, Kevin. When you're around a campfire at night, you look up at the stars. I mean, God is just showing off.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that in that kind of environment, that's a Christian environment, and the leaders are interested in mentoring young men mm-hmm. and leading them towards Christ. It just it opens so many doors. They're out of their element,
mm-hmm.
and it's totally different and new. And they're sleeping under the stars, and they're canoeing or whatever. You can't help but see God, you know, in His creation. And there's just something about that environment that we're seeing. We're hearing reports just about every day from troops where they're experiencing, great things in the young men and their fathers as they're just being drawn to Christ through adventure.
What are the special characteristics that you want to find in a young man? You know, if you're looking at the goal, what are you trying to do to construct this young man, make him ready to love for life, make him a faithful disciple of Christ? But what does a young man look like as he has matured physically, emotionally, spiritually?
That's a great question. Our vision is to be the premier national character development organization for young men, which produces, and this is your question, godly and responsible husbands, fathers, and citizens. That's our end
okay.
product.
There you go.
Our mission is to guide generations of courageous young men to honor God, lead with integrity, serve others, and experience outdoor adventure. So that's the way that we're getting to that.
Yeah.
And when you look at our Freedom Award, which is our highest award, we think that we will have young men who exemplify those values. So when people, they'll stand head and shoulders above the rest because they've pursued that mission. They've participated in Trail Life USA.
Now, Mark, there's one thing that I think we want to address, and that is the peer contact. Seems like a lot of parents are happy with what the mentors are doing, what well-meaning Sunday school teachers are doing, but it's just the peer group they're concerned with. You follow me? There is a dynamic that happens sometimes where the kids are getting more from the peer group than they're getting from the mentorship. You see the tension there? And how do you guys control that?
Well, you're absolutely right. When you look at a schoolroom environment, it's the most unnatural thing they'll ever be in their life, to be in a room of 30 kids their own age and have one adult there. It does really steer them towards kind of a subculture. Mm-hmm. So what we do is by putting them in the outdoors or putting in weekly meeting kind of situations where the adults in charge there are interacting, they're participating, but they're also encouraging the leadership of the boys. We start in kindergarten, we go through 25 years of age, and at the younger levels, it's more like what you're used to. You'll see a couple adults who are in charge of the room. And then as we move them through middle school and up through high school, the adults, the leaders start to take a step back because we're teaching them leadership. But they're watching the situation. They're advising those boys on how to lead better, how to set a better example. So they're putting them in an environment that they've never been in before, to where there are people who are intentionally overseeing them and watching them and encouraging them in how to lead better, how to model better, how to set a better example. And there's just nowhere else that they're doing that. Where else do you see that? Where else do boys really have a chance to lead where they're given a position or a responsibility, whether they're leading a patrol on a camp out or whether they're just leading the boys and cooking breakfast that morning? They get these opportunities to lead, and then they get almost instantaneous feedback on how they can be a better leader. So we are raising a generation of young men who will lead better.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Hancock, CEO of Trail Life USA. Access the website at traillifeusa.com. Again, Mark Hancock on this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, joining us on Generations, explaining an alternative to Boy Scouts of America. While the macro is going south, we're thankful that there are alternatives. There are some efforts to sustain faith, family, and freedom during the demise of these values in the 21st century. And may God bring back a biblical faith, and may it be lived out in the next generation. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.